Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mantoway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. His program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
I'm so glad to be with you once again, and I thank God today. Jesus is alive and well. I know we're going through dark days and we're going through a transition period as we come to the end of this age. Yet many of the things that are going on today are actually fulfillments of prophecy. And I was just thinking, Jesus said that before he came back, it would be as in the days of Lot. And then he also mentions the days of Noah. And that's very significant for us today because in the days of Lot, the Bible was very clear that the people were given to what was called sodomy. And when strangers would come into town, they would rape the men. And the population was very much involved in this. And God called it wickedness. And he actually incinerated or burned up the whole city because of what was going on. The Bible consistently talks against this type of what they call today the gay lifestyle or homosexuality, because actually it is very destructive to people emotionally, mentally, physically, in every way, and thousands have died because of it, and it's depopulated parts of Africa because of the destructiveness of it. But yet, we have very wealthy playboys today that control the media that promote this type of thing all the time, and so many people have come to believe in it. And it is based on what you call today. We have more than one religion in America, and we have Christianity, which is strong, but also we have humanism. Humanism is saying that basically is atheism. It says, though, that if there's any God, man is his own God. And so humanists believe man is his own God. Man sets up the rules. And unfortunately, humanists, their unholy sacraments are sodomy and abortion. And they promote homosexuality and gay lifestyle and gender transference and all of this stuff. And not only that, but they are very intolerant. And so they want to force you to recognize it. They have their gay pride, but if you work, they want you to you participate in it, even if you don't believe in it. And just recently, we see their destructive power in the city that I live in Cleveland, Ohio. And yesterday, I was speaking before the city council, and what they're proposing is, and this is part of the agenda, the humanist sodomite agenda, is they're proposing that men can go into women's bathrooms or women's showers anytime they want to, or they're proposing to actually put pressure on teenagers to have mixed showers between male and females. And they're really pushing this type of agenda. And actually, city council in Cleveland, Ohio, is actually going beyond this. And they haven't yet totally voted on it, but they're discussing it. It looks like they're heading towards that vote right now. And what they want to do is, if somebody says, well, this is a woman's bathroom and objects to a man going into it, they actually want to fine them, I think, even up to thousands of dollars and put them into jail. And the sodomite agenda, they want people to promote it. Somebody has a store, and they may sell to anybody, but then they want them to make a cake that promotes it, especially promotes it for them when they could go anyplace else. With the backing of these wicked organizations like the ACLU, which is always for everything that is wicked. And I understand that they have promoted in the sometimes pedophilia. And so, of course, these organizations are backing it up, and they want to force it on. It doesn't matter if a woman wants to have privacy at all. She doesn't have those rights. And if you say anything, they want to put you in jail or charge you thousands of dollars. And I asked Brother Al Davis here to comment on that, and he's pastor of Bible Baptist Temple.
Well, thank you, Bruce. And again, good to be with you today. Just a reminder, people can look up some of the programs, past programs and all, on your website at whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com. And just a quick correction, it was the Cuyahoga County Council, not the Cleveland City Council. So this isn't restricted to just Cleveland. This is all of Cuyahoga County. If you live in Cuyahoga County, if you have a business in Cuyahoga County, if you go to school in Cuyahoga County, if you go to church in Cuyahoga County, this affects you because it would be countywide. They're proposing this Human Rights Commission, and that means that if somebody who identifies, who biologically is male and identifies, or at least claims to identify as a woman, chooses to go into the women's restroom or the women's locker room, and somebody says, you know, the men's locker room is over there, not here, that person can file a complaint for discrimination, and the person who pointed out that they should be in the men's locker room then has to appear before this tribunal and give an account of themselves and prove that they're not a bigot, basically.
Yeah, and of course, the tribunal be a kangaroo court made of people that think like that, too, you know?
Yeah.
So you automatically will be guilty because that's the way they think, see? And so they won't have people with different viewpoints because they're very, you talk about narrow-minded, they're very narrow-minded, very intolerant because they're willing to put people in jail. And it's just happened recently. I heard somebody was giving out some track about help for the homosexual, and I understand that they, I don't know if they find him and put him in jail too, you know. And so there, it's intolerance, but that's the men, that's the way the men of Sodom were. And Jesus said, as it was in the days of Lot, that's sodomy. And then it says, as in the days of Noah, that's the earth was full of violence there. So you see both of these things. And the Bible is always speaking about what is going on all the time. And I was thinking at the time, you know, we said the Pledge of Allegiance and at city council, and it says under God. And I thought, well, it certainly is not the God of the Bible. And what is the percentage of people in America that identify with Christianity? What was it, over 60%?
I think it's over half, you know, the population. I don't know the figure. I'll see if I can find something there. I was going to add, even though I'm not in Cuyahoga County myself, nor is my church, you know, I'm watching it because, you know, what happens in Cuyahoga County could affect Summit County, or could affect other counties. And this is something that has been around, in other parts of the country. And it really does open the door for harassment of churches.
You know, I thought to myself, you know, if they want to see a peep show or something like that, they can go and pay for it, you know, on Brook Park Road, where they have those things. But they have to force themselves on women, you know. I mean, what if the woman doesn't want to have a man in there in a restroom with her? You know, it's just, it's almost bizarre. It's almost unthinkable. And, of course, they're not going to have a vote on it either. They're just going to have these people, on, particularly on the city council, and I think, or on the Cuyahoga
County Council.
County Council, yeah. They should be watching who's voting, and people could still make calls and write letters, you know, on this subject. But I mean, but the Bible says the world will be given to this. So what it's promoting is you have powerful playboys with millions of dollars that promote this type of stuff through magazines and television. And then with, you know, when they have all this money, they can use this money to, that gives them a lot of weight, you know, in with politicians and congressmen, because they actually pay for them to run their campaigns and whatnot. And so yet again, it's prophetic. When we see it happening, Jesus said it was going to happen. And that's another reason we know the Bible is true, because it talks about where man is today. It always talks about what is going on today in this world. And we were talking about Nebuchadnezzar's dreams, and we mentioned some of the things in that dream. Do you have that? There's some of the things we mentioned last week that the counselors of Nebuchadnezzar, I think we ought to go over that again, that they were into, and it, the politicians and judges and politicians are into doing much of the same thing today. Can you read some of those things there? Do you see them?
All right. In Daniel chapter 2, and it talks about the case where Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and it says in chapter 2, verse 2, then the king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans for to show the king his dream. So they came and stood before the king. And, of course, we were talking about the magicians, the astrologers, sorcerers. Chaldeans would be the wise men. And these were people who looked to the supernatural means. A good many of them are probably charlatans. You talked about that, I believe, last week, and how he tested them. You know, he couldn't remember the dream, and he demanded that if they really had these powers, they should be able to tell him the dream as well as the interpretation of the dream. And in this particular case, we know that the magicians were those that would cast spells and use divination and incantations and such, the astrologers looking to the signs and the sun, the moon, and the stars to determine the future, and then, of course, the sorcerers using oftentimes, you know, they would use drugs and things like that to enhance their spiritual state so that they could get divine revelation or revelations from the gods. And then, of course, the Chaldeans, wise men. And, you know, we see all that today, don't we?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I was thinking, too, in this, particularly the magicians and the black magic and all that stuff, that's involved in the Masons, too, isn't it? A lot of this stuff.
I don't really know myself. I'm not a Mason, so I'm not familiar. I would certainly know at the higher levels of a lot of these groups, you know, they do practice some of these things at the higher levels. Most people at the lower levels, from what I've read about it, most people at the lower levels have no clue what's going on at the highest levels. The lower levels is just a social club or something, you know, where they get together and wear funny gowns and do stuff and raise money to do social causes and all that. But when you get up into the higher levels, you know, you do... you get what's called the mystery religions, and there's various sorts where when you reach a certain point, they bring you to the upper level, and they say what you learned in the lower levels wasn't true, but you weren't ready for the real truth at that point. Now you're ready, so we're going to initiate you into the truths, the real truths that you don't know. Then oftentimes you go a level above that, and you hear the same thing again. Well, you know, the mystery of iniquity, Paul warned us, is working in the world and has been since the time of Nebuchadnezzar's day all the way through today.
Yeah, you know, one of my friends, I saw in his church, he had bought a church building, you know, and can you imagine this in a church too? And he had bought this building, and I was looking up there in a upper section in the building. And there was a coffin there, and that's part of the ritual, you know. And this individual is supposed to be dead. The coffin door sprung open, you know. They left it there, and it would spring open. And in the ritual way, this individual is supposed to be dead. He's supposed to speak, you know, and they're supposed to then, in some way, connect with this individual who is to be a guide to them in their life. You know, it's just demonic stuff, you know.
Sounds like necromancy, which the Bible condemns.
Yeah. And then the head of the Masons, the Albert Pike that wrote for them, he says, our God is Lucifer.
Right.
I mean, isn't that something?
But if you ask the average Mason, they would not know that, probably.
Yes.
Because they're not taught that at the lower levels.
Yeah, it's like a good old boys' club. But, yeah. I mean, up near the top.
You want to sell insurance or, you know, something. Start a business, you join the Masons, and you make contacts and get to know everybody and get clued in on the secret handshake.
A lot of these, a lot of these judges and politicians and everything, widely, they're involved, and they're probably upper level people too, you know, in that particular group. And, you know, when it says, I mean, it's really satanic right there, in satanic worship, and when it gets in the upper levels. And And the Bible says in the book of Revelation, the world's going to worship the devil, you know? Well, it's already set up, already beginning to happen. That's why the Bible just, it just pulls the, it's like pulling the rock up and all the bugs are crawling around under the rock, you know? And it shows you what goes on underneath. You know, if you could read, continue to read about the what the dream was, and then I'll talk about the interpretation of the dream later.
All right. Do you want me to drop down here to where Daniel comes in and gives the dream?
Yes.
All right. So we're
God gonna... has the secrets. It says there's no secret that he hasn't revealed to his servants, the prophets, but the secrets are in the Word of God. And I got to remind you that Daniel was a prophet, not only foretelling, he was foretelling the future. The prophets of God foretell the future in great accuracy, whereas the false prophets, they can't get it right. A lot of them don't even attempt that, although they call themselves a prophet. And Jesus called Daniel a prophet and referred to him as being a prophet of God.
And, of course, Daniel was a wise man because he was wise through the Spirit of God giving him wisdom. We'll drop down to Daniel chapter 2, verse number 20. Five, then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste and said thus unto him, I have found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded, cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers shew unto the king, but there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to King Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed what should come to pass hereafter, and he that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have, more than any living, but for their sakes, that shall make known the interpretation to the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. Thou, O king, sawest and beheld a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest tell that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king.
Okay, thank you very much. Now, in the book of Daniel, it was written in based on the Hebrew Masoretic text, and also some of it is written in the Aramaic. But Jesus referred to that when he said, not one jot or tittle of the law should be passed away till it's all fulfilled. So he's talking about the Old Testament, particularly the first five books, based on the Masoretic text. And he said, even a jot or a tittle is not part of a Greek letter, it's part of a Hebrew letter. So he was referring to the Hebrew text. And the Hebrew part of Daniel is based on the Masoretic text that Jesus never found fault with. He said, though, that they had misinterpreted it, or they had added to it and got the meaning wrong, but he never said that the text was wrong, that they had changed the text, and he referred to that text. Now, even today, now the King James translator is the best that ever came on the scene, best that ever sat down together with a wide knowledge of languages. They translated this from the Hebrew Masoretic text. So that's the true text. And in Isaiah 59, 20 and 21, it says, this is my covenant with Jacob. Now, when it refers to Jacob, it's referring to the Jews, no other. It says, this is my covenant with Jacob. The words that I speak unto thee shall not depart out of thy mouth, or out of the mouth of thy seed, or out of thy mouth of thy seed from this generation forever. So it's saying that the Jewish people would have the very true text. And so the Old Testament was written by Jews that God had given them these words. And then most of the New Testament, if not all of it, although in a few cases people question that, was written by Jews. And so we have a legitimate text. Now, even today when they found the Dead Sea Scrolls from hundreds of years before Christ, it agrees with the text behind the King James Bible. And in thousands of words, there's hardly one word even changed in thousands of words. And that's why today when they find some of these ancient scrolls, they use the King James text in Israel to translate those scrolls into English based on this text because it is so accurate. And we believe that God said he'd preserve his words. The words of the Lord are pure words. So God guided those translators to do this. Now, he gives here the interpretation, and it says here, and where it starts here, thou art king, a king of kings, the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power and strength and glory, whereas the children of men dwell, and the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven with hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler for them all. Thou art this head of gold. So he sees this image, and the image has a head of gold, and then it has its arms of silver, then it has its thighs of brass, and then it has its legs of iron, and then finally iron and clay. Now he says here, after these shall, then he goes on and explains it. So he says that the king is the head of gold. And thou art this head of gold. And after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee. And that then is the kingdom is the arms, that's of silver. So that it refers to the Medo-Persian Empire that followed. And then it says a third kingdom of brass. And that refers to the kingdom of Alexander the Great. And then finally, there's another third kingdom of brass which shall bear rule over all the earth, and the fourth kingdom then shall be strong as iron. So that's now the fourth kingdom that rises. All of these actually happen, and Daniel is written long before they happen, but God predicts the future. And the kingdom of iron is the Roman Empire. For as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things. So They had an army that was set up and just could crush everybody and everything, no matter who came against them. And as iron that breaketh all things, these shall break in pieces and bruise. Whereas thou sawest the feet and toes part of potter's clay, part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with clay. So you see, The legs are divided. So the Roman Empire was divided into the Eastern Roman Empire and the Western Roman Empire, and that's the legs of iron. As the toes of the feet, part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. Whereas thou sawest and mixed the toes are mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of those kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, and it shall break in pieces, assume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. So Jesus is that's the fourth kingdom. It will destroy the fourth kingdom. And he will come back in a violent manner and take over this planet in great power and glory. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain. Now that's referring to Christ, the stone cut out of the mountain without hands, and break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold. The great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass thereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. Now, it's saying here, and something is taught all through the Old Testament, there will be a day when Jesus will come back, take on the armies of the world. The armies of the world will come against Israel, and when they come and overrun it, the Jewish people and Israelis will be praying to God at that time. And the Lord Jesus Christ, it says that day. It says, his feet shall stand that day upon the Mount of Olives, written long before he came. And he will take over this planet, and he will sit down on Mount Zion and rule over the whole world from then. And this is called the premillennial return of the Lord Jesus Christ to rule for 1,000 years in power and great glory.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.